You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
And we are coming to you from Boulevard Park, home of the Pelton Cast, where we are celebrating the Huskies returning to the Rose Bowl for the first time in 18 years to play a traditional Rose Bowl against the champions of the Big Ten.
It's not just good to be back in Boulevard Park. It's good to be back in the Rose Bowl, where the Huskies belong. At the end of every season, this is where Husky football should be playing. And it's been a while.
You're coming around to my take here, because you're the one who's usually wanting to get into the playoff and do that sort of thing, and not thinking that the Rose Bowl.
Playoff in the Rose Bowl.
All right, that's completely fair. Against the Big Ten opponent.
Almost wanted to deliver some special Sunday morning Mariners hot takes. But those will have to wait for next week. But to give context for how long it's been since the Huskies have been in the Rose Bowl, the last time they played in the Rose Bowl, the Mariners went to the playoffs.
That's a long time.
That's how long ago it's been.
That checks out. They got to the Rose Bowl on Friday night in front of literally dozens of fans, maybe even hundreds. Defeating Utah in a thrilling 10-3.
People streamed in at the end to boo Larry Scott.
Pac-12 championship game. What a night. A night we'll truly never forget.
I'm going to crack open this 10 a.m. Rainier right here. And a toast. Wow, it is really fizzy. That would have looked pretty good on video. And a toast is not only in order to the Rose Bowl, but to Byron Murphy for getting us there.
Absolutely. What a tremendous performance by Byron Murphy. The pick six at a point where Utah's win probability had crept over 50% in a tie game.
Over 50%?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's because they had actually moved past midfield for the first time all game. No, I guess the second. But it didn't ultimately matter.
But Byron Murphy ended the game on that pick six. The game was over at that point. We knew it.
The game was not over. Let me channel Ed Hockele.
Coming up with another huge pick, and then the defensive play at the end. No PI, to save the game and send the Huskies to this Rose Bowl, where, for the first time ever, we will be facing the Ohio State University.
It's incredible, because both UW and Ohio State will be making their 15th Rose Bowl appearance, tied with Stanford for the second most ever against USC. Yeah, Stanford apparently went a lot back in the day. Back in the early days of college football.
Sometimes the computers got glitches. That cannot be.
That's what's listed here.
I'm assuming
here.
USC is number one.
USC is number one.
And Michigan is number one. 34
appearances. By the way, did you... I'm sorry. They're tied for third. Michigan is second with 20. They're tied for third.
Who's first?
USC with 34.
Oh, just total.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying in each of the respective conferences.
No. They are both tied for second in their respective conferences. UW actually played USC in the Rose Bowl one year, it turns out, during the wartime when they weren't bringing teams from back east.
I don't know what member of the college football playoff figured that out.
Yeah, that's a good one. They've played a variety of Alabama, Pitt. There's just a lot of interesting teams back in the day before it settled into the traditional Pac-12 Big Ten format. But despite playing Iowa twice, Michigan four times, never once Ohio State until now.
Oh, I'm fired up about this.
It is overdue.
I mean, when we were watching Ohio State versus Northwestern yesterday, I mean, I was sort of cheering for Northwestern for the upset just for craziness. But also, I don't want to play Northwestern in the Rose Bowl. You don't go to the Rose Bowl every single year. And when you go, except we're going to from now forever, that's where every season should end. But I want to play somebody that matters. I don't want this UCF-type situation where it's a lose-lose going in. I liked playing Penn State last year and Saquon Barkley. I liked going to the playoffs and playing Alabama. And I say for this one, bring on Ohio State.
I mean, admittedly, I was hoping for Michigan, which would have been, again, the fifth Rose Bowl between those teams, including they met in two of the last three appearances.
Path for that to have worked out.
Well, not complicated. Not. I mean, it just would have had to have been Ohio State would have surged over Oklahoma. or Oklahoma could have lost to Texas. Now, as it turns out, the College Football Playoff Committee put Ohio State by not only Oklahoma, but also Georgia. So at the end of the day, it turned out to be a real long shot for them to make the playoff, but it wasn't that complicated.
Last night, ESPN had their like projections or whatever, and it was like 71% Ohio State. And I was like, that's not happening. I went into last night going to sleep knowing that Ohio State was not making this College Football Playoff. But Ohio State being at number 6 goes to show one thing that we all know from watching them this season.
What's that?
Ohio State sucks.
I don't know if I would describe number 6 in quite that way. But I think it's interesting because of the fact that this is going to be a matchup that, for everything you've just said, are two teams that came into the season hoping to make the College Football Playoff. And there's some level of disappointment that they didn't do that, despite the excitement of the fact that they won their conference and are going to the Rose Bowl. And I wanted to read a quote from you.
Yes.
For you, from Bo Schembechler. Yeah,
did you say you wanted to read a quote from me?
No, for you.
Okay.
If there are any Big Ten teams that shoot for a national championship, they're damn fools. You play to win the Big Ten championship, and if you win it and go to the Rose Bowl and win it, then you've had a great season.
There you go.
I mean, it's the most iconic setting in college sports. And here's a key thing that occurred to me is the Huskies were celebrating by biting roses after the Pac-12 championship win. It's also the most iconic symbol of a bowl game. Maybe the Peach Bowl. That's maybe the only one.
The Peach Bowl doesn't matter.
True.
I mean, the oranges.
But oranges are very difficult, like the actual visual of it. You have to peel them to eat them.
Mm-hmm. And you can just eat roses straight.
Exactly. But there, to me, there's nothing better in sports than on New Year's Day, with everyone watching, the eyes of the world on it, there's a moment at the end of the third quarter where like the sun is just starting to set in Pasadena, and it's already pitch black here in Seattle because of the fact that...
For hours. It's already been black for hours. Yeah,
it's so much darker during the winter here than it is there. And now, for the first time ever, I am planning to be in the stadium for that moment.
There we go. Thank you for reminding me to buy tickets on the day of the game on Friday.
Well, what are you going to do?
That was classic Pelton Cast communication.
Should we talk a little bit about this matchup, how Ohio State got here, and why you think they suck?
Absolutely.
The expectations were playoff, and they suffered one loss along the way, but really they suffered two losses because of the fact that playing Maryland into multiple overtimes, even on the road, and winning by 1 point ultimately, that counts as a loss.
Mm-hmm.
That basically was
their count. I mean, it doesn't count as a loss, but...
Oh, no, it does. I mean, it kind of did because of the fact that it probably was a big factor in keeping them out of the playoff.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it was just where their losses happened. And granted, we're the Huskies. We lost to Cal. Like, you know, we don't have really like a...
Cal is not looking quite as good after the big game.
We don't have the same kind of like pillar to stand on, but we're not arguing for the College Football Playoff. We did what we needed to do to get here, right?
Yes.
We're not asking for anything more than the Rose Bowl. And people in Ohio can be saying that the Huskies suck right now, too. I wouldn't blame them.
Especially if they watched Friday's game. Which though, was a strong performance given Utah's defense.
It was a performance.
The defense...
They should have scored more than 0 points.
Yes. The defense for the second consecutive week... They did score 3 points on offense. The defense for the second consecutive week lived up to the hype.
Well, I want to talk about Ohio State first, because I've got some takes about this Husky defense.
Okay. So Ohio State's loss coming at Purdue by a 49-20 final in a just a, kind of a magical afternoon for Purdue. Obviously, a much bigger loss than the Huskies have suffered this season, all of their losses being close. And Ohio State managed to win a series of close games.
Not decisive at all. And again, I understand. I'm willing to couch this with saying that the Huskies did not have a pretty season. But their key non-conference game against TCU, a team that really faded after that, beating Penn State by a point, losing to Purdue by 29, beating a terrible Nebraska team by 5,
yep,
playing that 1 point game in the multiple overtimes against Maryland, similar to the Huskies, this team played one good game this season, and it was against their rival.
But it was a really good game. It was maybe as good a game as anyone played all season to beat Michigan by 23 points, put up 62 on them.
FPI-wise, they're very similar. I think Ohio State ranks 8th, and the Huskies are 10th. Like, this is a very close matchup, and their seasons have been very similar, too.
No, Ohio State ranks 5th in FPI. I don't know what you're talking about here.
Was that not the thing? This is updated from today, then. I think I was looking at it as of yesterday.
They didn't move around that much. So no, they didn't. If you look at, now both of these teams are benefiting
from
where they started in terms of team efficiency before the season.
This is from yesterday.
Yeah, so this is the team efficiency. The FPI takes into account preseason expectations.
Oh.
The team efficiency in 2018, yes, Ohio State 8th.
Why do I care about preseason expectations when we're going to be playing this game in January?
Because they still have predictive power. 12 games, it turns out, is not actually, or 13 in these two teams' cases.
Your mom
because
still
they
has
both
predictive
played.
Power.
Well, no, she really
Breonna
doesn't.
Missouri.
Unless Duke wins the NCAA tournament.
She might have predictive power this year.
Yeah, she actually has.
If there's a Duke Gonzaga final, she will.
My initial read on this. So if we look at those FPI efficiencies, it's interesting because Ohio State. Let's see. This, I did not look at this again as of this morning, so I'll have to do that on the fly here. Sixth best offense in the country. They've been really terrific offensively. Their defense, a little shaky, 42nd defensively. Now, the big concern here is they're also top 10 in special teams, which I don't know if you noticed, almost cost the Huskies the Pac-12 championship game.
I mean, it's the number one thing that needs to be fixed on this team this offseason. You know, last offseason, it's harder to do in college on the fly as much. Pete Carroll was like, we're going to run the ball no matter what, and everything that they did was pointing toward running the ball.
Correct.
Chris Peterson needs to fix the special teams.
Yes.
I don't know what they have to do, but they need to fix the special teams.
Yeah.
It's horrific, and I wouldn't be shocked if they were to lose this game against Ohio State because of it. But offensively, Ohio State, slightly worse than Wazoo.
Yeah. I feel like their style is not as conducive to the Huskies as Wazoo's style is.
Better not snow. An offense that is slightly worse than Wazoo's offense. That the Huskies shut down, and they have now played their two best defensive performances of the season in a row. This defense against Utah, they didn't let Jason Shelley get free at all. Not one time did he run into space in that game. I mean, it was an impressive performance, and if they can do that same thing with Dwayne Haskins in this Rose Bowl, they're going to be able to contain Ohio State a little bit. The secondary looked incredibly impressive in that game against Wazoo. They still have a little bit, or against Utah. They still have a little bit of trouble in the intermediate range with coverage. And if Ohio State can exploit that, then it's going to be an issue. But if they try to test these corners at all, it's going to be a problem for Ohio State.
At all? I don't know about that. You realize that Jason Shelley is not walking through that door here. Dwayne Haskins is number two in the country in passing EPA, according expected points added, according to ESPN's
QBR. If you like
QBR.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, behind only Kyler Murray, who now probably has become the favorite for the Heisman, I guess, at this point. Haskins probably a finalist, we would think.
I don't think he's a finalist.
You don't think so?
No.
He's ahead of Gardner Minshew in terms of expected points added from passing, despite obviously throwing the ball fewer times because of the fact that Ohio State is not as pass dominant as Wazoo's offense is. This is the best quarterback, the best player that the Huskies will have faced all year, and also the best team. I mean, they faced a lot of good teams this year, a lot of teams in kind of that intermediate, 11th to 25th range in terms of football power index or whatever overall metric. Utah a couple times, Wazoo, Stanford is in that mix, I think, as well. Perhaps Oregon.
Well, Auburn still at 26.
But they haven't faced a legitimate top 10 opponent until now. And that's going to be a challenge because that's also not a game that they've been able to win yet in the Chris Peterson era. Not that they've had a ton of opportunities to do it.
This has to be the moment. I mean, if they could win this, this would be the defining game of the Chris Peterson era.
For sure. I don't think it has to be because Chris Peterson's probably
probably
not going to USC after they decided to retain Clay Helton. I think the odds are against that now. There will be more opportunities, and maybe at some point they can play one of these big games and actually be favored in it.
Someday. Winning a Rose Bowl against Ohio State, though, would be the greatest moment of Chris Peterson's career.
I don't know. The Fiesta Bowl win was quite something.
This is different. This is the granddaddy of them all. This is the Rose Bowl at Washington. This isn't Boise State in an upset victory using a Statue of Liberty play or whatever.
They were the better team in that game, by the way.
Than Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, just like the Huskies are the better team in this game. Oh, no, I don't man. Know about that.
Going way too far here. My initial read on this is that the line for this game will probably be something like Ohio State minus 4.5.
I was going to guess 6.
They're about 4 points better by FPI. And then also, if you look at kind of the line history on unpredictable.com that we talked about earlier this season, I think they'll probably get an extra 0.5 point just because they seem to be playing well down the stretch of the season.
They had a not that comfortable victory against Northwestern.
I mean, they did end up winning by 3 touchdowns. It was shaky in the third quarter, but they ended up pulling away pretty comfortably here. UW and Ohio State have met 11 times, none of them in the Rose Bowl. Ohio State winning 8 of those 11 matchups. The Huskies' most recent win, a 25-16 win at Husky Stadium in 1994.
There we go.
Attended by a young Kevin.
Did I not go to that one?
No, I went with our dad, so he only had the 2 tickets. So, sorry, you didn't get the call for that one.
How dare you?
Joey Galloway, future Seahawks wide receiver Joey Galloway, suspended for that game.
Oh, he was suspended for that game.
Yeah. That's why it's the Joey Galloway game.
And future Seahawks cornerback Sean Springs also playing.
Yeah. The Huskies lost the following year in Columbus, then 2003 on the road as they started another home-and-home set, and most recently lost in 2007 in Seattle in a game we attended and have no memory of whatsoever, despite the fact that the Huskies actually led 7-3 at halftime of this game.
There are a lot of fuzzy memories from that time period.
Before getting destroyed in the second half
of
that
one. We didn't even really tailgate then, though. In 2007.
We didn't tailgate in the same way, but I think we tailgated.
I don't think we really tailgated at all. This was my last year of college.
That would have probably been the Sonics tailgate days, though. Maybe the year before. I don't know. I can't remember the exact timeline, but the Sonics did exist at that point.
You just wanted to mention that.
I did. You got to get that in there at some point.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how little we remember that game, because I remember a lot of games from that time period. Like, I remember the previous year playing Notre Dame clearly.
Yeah, and I mean, it was at a point where there was a lot of games where, like, oh, this could be the chance to knock someone off, whether it was USC coming in. And, like, the non-conference schedule at that point was way too good for how the Huskies were. Now it's kind of the opposite.
They played Auburn. Are you kidding me? What do you want this non-conference schedule to be? They played Auburn and BYU. This isn't Georgia's non-conference schedule where they played UMass and I think Troy. Like, come on. This isn't an SEC non-conference schedule.
This is not the first season the Huskies have played.
Who did they play last year? They played Fresno Dam State last year.
They did. Shouts to Jeff Tedford on the Mountain West Championship, winning in overtime on the blue turf in Boise.
You truly do work at ESPN. We understand. We get what you're saying. We saw your cupcakes. You don't need to bring up this point right now because this is a celebratory podcast, and the Huskies are going to the Rose Bowl facing Ohio State for the first time. Chris Peterson looking for the signature victory of his Husky coaching tenure.
It is also a preview, by the way, of the home-and-home series between these two teams that was recently announced in 2024 and 2025.
Mark your calendars. We are going to be watching those games, going to a hockey game right after. That's what this world's going to look like.
Nice. Anything else to discuss on this one?
I mean, we'll be talking so much more extensively about this in the weeks going forward. We'll have a specific preview for this game at the end of December. In the meantime, just hope that everybody is healthy coming out of this game, can get a lot of time for rest and have Trey Adams solidly in there, Hunter Bryant be back, and have a Husky team that's pretty healthy and ready to go.
All right. On that note,
thanks for listening.
Thanks.